Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome, everybody, to an all-new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Corn Nation and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com. We'll get to that later because the monkey plays an important role in the Five Heart Podcast. But I am Greg Mahochko. I am one of two hosts that grace you with our presence as I'm joined by my good friend and broadcast buddy, Brian Toll. Brian, the Nebraska Cornhusker football team is 3-0. How are you feeling after the non-conference portion of the schedule?
Sure, pretty good.
I was expecting just a little bit more enthusiasm.
Yeah, probably, but you know what it is. Some people are really upset because it's, you know, and this is always going to throw me for a loop. Some people really, you know, get grumpy because, oh, they're not winning because they got to run the ball 90 times, and I still don't trust Miles Riley, and, you know, why they fire a ball, this is crap, ball. And it's like, can you, pardon my mouth, swear jar, here it comes, can you enjoy it for 5 fucking minutes?
We're going to get to the swear jar later, too.
Five mother fucking minutes.
not even 2 minutes into the show and Brian's salty already. So you're saying that there's a portion of the fan base out there that's still loyal to Bo?
I don't think it's so much loyal to Bo. It's just it's like they won $1 million and the bills aren't crisp enough.
And they're mad they didn't win two.
Yeah, I mean,
Well, let's talk about this past Saturday. The Ducks come down from Oregon. This was a team that, you know, a program that Mike Riley is obviously very familiar with because they played the Civil War for, you know, every year that he was at Corvallis. And I believe went 0-6 or 0-7 over the last, you know, however many, I mean, was winless over the last 6 or 7 years against Oregon. One of the things that he said, you know, there was a joke. We were joking about it because he made the comment when he got to Nebraska that said, well, I don't have to see Royce Freeman and the Ducks anymore. Lo and behold, you know, after the first season and then, you know, third game of his second season, he's got to see the Ducks again. Let's talk about that 35-32 crazy, ridiculous game this past Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska.
What do you want to talk about?
I'm going to come right out and say that I obviously thrilled Nebraska won, you know, because we're all fans, and if I wasn't happy with the win, then, you know, I need to go find a different team to, you know, be grumpy about. Like, I'd have to be a Northwestern fan or an Cubs Illinois fan or something. Yeah, don't get me started on the damn Cubs. Stupid freaking Cubs. Anyway, no, I look at it one or two ways. Did Nebraska win as much as Oregon lost the game? You know what I'm saying? Like all those failed 2-point conversions. Obviously, like I said, thrilled that Nebraska won. Could have easily gone the other way if all Oregon had to do was kick, you know, four other PATs instead of trying to go for it. It's a 36-35 game, but their determination to try to make the 2-point conversion work backfired, bit him in the ass, and Nebraska gets the W. Again, completely thrilled that Nebraska won. However, I wonder if national media looks at that. You know, obviously you still see it talked about on ESPN, ESPN.com, things like that. But, you know, like the asterisk. Is there any type of asterisk with this game, or is it just the fact that Oregon pissed it away because they tried to be cutesy, and Nebraska took advantage, and Tommy Armstrong balled out?
Well, last time I checked, you don't need to give away. You don't have to apologize for victories, you know, no matter who you play. And I look at it this way. For all the schools that always say, oh, this is Nebraska, top five program, and all of college football, blah, 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 800, 900 wins. You know, well, it's not the same record, but it's still Nebraska, da, da, da. Well, you can't have it both ways. It's not this monumental win when you beat the Huskers, but then when Nebraska beat you, oh, it's only good because Oregon's on a down year. And right. Mark Helfrich, you know, you really can't have it both ways. Oregon, you know, Oregon 20 months ago was in here in Arlington playing for a national championship. Granted, different quarterback, different OC and everything, but same head coach. A lot of kids that are still there, you know, that are there now, you know, were in that game. It's still a program that is could, you know, depending on everything shakes down in the Pac-12 North, they could, you know, if Washington slips up somewhere and they're the bigger, better team, they could play for a Pac-12 championship, you know, and all absolutely. Of a sudden, you know, how well does it look? I mean, you know, we've kind of learned the last couple of years to not take wins for granted in Lincoln. I would like to hope so, at least. That'll take my Northwestern point, but still we're talking about Oregon. You know, you don't take wins for granted. you know, it's kind of one of those games that Nebraska probably would have lost last year. They wouldn't have the Pearsonell return. The Kyron Williams deflection of the pass with less than a minute to go that would have won the game for Oregon had he not been there. Those games in Nebraska's found ways to lose, you know, last year. And everybody seems to forget that. That's why you appreciate that win more because, you know, in how many games last year did Nebraska win by not doing the right thing, not having the right game plan, not having the right execution?
Win or lose?
It win or lose, yeah. I mean, you know.
I look at this, you know, this is a Nebraska team that last year they were losing the close games. And so for me, it's really refreshing to see them win the close games.
Yeah, it's – luck's got to come back on you a little bit here and there. Now, are there issues with Nebraska? Yeah, a little bit. I think speed kind of killed them. That being said, they're probably going to – this is the second fastest team they'll play in their regular schedule next to Ohio State. Ohio State's quick.
Yeah, they're young and fast.
Young and fast. And I just don't think, you know, you're not going to feel bad if Justin Jackson doesn't play for Northwestern this weekend. You're not going to feel bad if by the time we get to Madison, they haven't figured out their quarterback issues. You're not going to feel bad if Lovie Smith can't run the damn ball at Illinois when they come to Lincoln and you beat them. You're not going to feel bad about all that. Like I said, some people just don't – I think they're spoiled as in they're used – you know, they take in the goal of them as well as us is conference championship or bust.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, it's well, Nebraska's better than everybody, and you kind of notice this. Nebraska's better should be better than everybody else because of the resources, and if not, they're just not doing their jobs. Fire them all. You know, those are the same type of people that literally will only watch Nebraska football games and not realize what's going on. You know, across the Big Ten, across FBS, and everything. You know, there's not really a great team this year in college football. Everybody has questions. Bama has questions. Clemson has questions.
Florida State, we found out, had some questions.
I suppose you could say Louisville doesn't have questions, but, you know, let's get them away, you know, face them, a tolerable team that's not named Syracuse away from Louisville and see what happens. So
let me throw this out there to you from the perspective of Oregon fans. I know I'm asking a lot here, but from the perspective of an Oregon fan, could they look at this past game and say, well, Royce Freeman got hurt in the first 5 minutes of the game, six plays or whatever it was. You know, they didn't win that game. You know, we weren't at 100%. I mean, could they realistically make that claim or I mean, you got to obviously you run that risk on either, you know, side in any given day or practice or game or somebody could potentially go down. But that was a big element that they lost very early on. Royce Freeman was a non-factor, essentially.
It was. I would say, yeah, you could say, hey, Freeman being gone, you know, was an issue. And I'll listen to that, and that's fine. But, you know, let's realize something, that Oregon still had a 100-yard rusher, if I remember right.
And that's the thing, too, is you know, the announcers were talking about how deep they were at that position and how many guys they could run in and out. So I think if Oregon wins that game, the Ducks fans will come back and say, you know what, we sure miss Royce, but by golly, we had all these young bucks, you know, coming in and carrying the load. They lose this game. Now they'll be like, man, we wish we really would have had Royce Freeman. I think they can see, you know, for them, it's kind of win-win because they have an excuse one way or another. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of, but I'll say this. Horgan ran the ball 47 times and was hitting it at 7 yards a clip. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it gets better with just Royce Freeman in there. I really don't. Prukop, if take away, if he didn't have some of the yards he had on the sacks, was a 100-yard runner. The Benoit kid was a 100-yard runner.
Very much.
Taj Griffith went 8 for 71, 8 yards a clip. So it's not like you're not telling me that – I mean, yeah, maybe Freeman doesn't do it exclusive, does it a little more exclusively, which I'll listen to and say, fine, sure. But you can't tell me that Oregon wasn't committed to running the ball. Now, Prukop, does he run for 20 times? Probably not. Probably cuts that like a third. You know, let's say he goes like 12, 13, and, you know, some of the carries from James Brooks and Griffin goes to Freeman. So let's say Freeman cuts it for 20. He's still averaging $6 a, you know, a piece. It's still roughly 45, 47 totes. I mean, you know, let's understand something. Prukop wasn't really throwing it very great. I mean, he hit Nelson on the one. Couple pass plays and everything. And if I remember right, Benoit was the kid that went 50 yards for the touchdown right after Wilbon's fumble.
Oops. His oopsie doops.
Yeah, that was Taj Griffin. Yeah, Taj Griffin went then. You know, Taj Griffin had 8 for 71, but his longest was 50. 8 for 68, but his longest was 50. He's 71 net. So I'll buy that to an extent. Maybe the better runners would have been, you know, Freeman would have been a better runner, but let's not say they abandoned the running game. They ran it pretty well. So
let's talk, and we mentioned it kind of in joke, but on Twitter, you know, this is the Five Heart podcast, and traditionally we talk about, you know, kind of the unsung guys, the guys who maybe walk onto the program and you know, they're not 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. They're walk on and they earn that spot because of how they produce in practice and how they, you know, rise throughout the years. Andy Janovich, you know, is a name that we've mentioned, and certainly he's not the only one. There have been obviously plenty of Five Heart kids, but what a display of heart and determination, I thought, by Tommy Armstrong.
Pretty gut worthy performance, especially when knowing that, you know, if he doesn't get in the end zone right there, who knows what his physical body's like. One thing I'll say about this, about Armstrong, the way they're putting him into better decisions, Langsdorf and Riley, is helping the entire team.
Absolutely.
I would say the one bad decision he made, I don't even know if it's a bad decision, was the one fumble where he went Wilbon on the backwards pass. And I kind of blamed Wilbon on that, not because he didn't catch it, because it was a tough pass, but you could tell for a half second that Wilbon kind of gave up on the ball.
Yes.
And that half second was all it needed.
Hesitated, I think.
Well, no, he gave up because he slapped his hands and got mad. Hesitate's one thing. Hesitate's freezing. Giving up is slapping your hands and getting pissed and all of a sudden realizing, oh, crap, I got to get it. And by the, you know, and granted, Wilbon didn't quit on the play. He got the tag. He helped get the tackle. But the half second could have cost Nebraska, because think about this. Their drive for the momentum for the touchdown. They give up that play. And very next play is when Griffin hits that 50-yarder. Okay. And then Nebraska gives the – if I remember right, Nebraska gave the ball back up. I might be wrong, depending on – I have to look at the drives. But they got the ball back on a I'm checking here real quick. They got the ball back with 34 seconds. That's where they got down to the 20-yard line with your Pearsonell. Yeah, I'm right. The Pearsonell big return. And it took them forever to get in. It took them a couple extra penalties to get in. So think about that. If that doesn't happen, you know, what happens in the whole game? Do they come back? I'm not sure. You know,
I thought I was really impressed that when Tommy first came up Gimpy, you know, and I said, oh crap, you know, obviously it's he's your starter. He's the one you ideally want out there. And the fact that he stayed in there, you could tell, though, I mean, it to me, it was like he's not coming out on this drive. He was going to see that drive through, and I think that was an Ozigbo touchdown run. But, you know, that's when right after that, you know, they crossed the plane. He pretty much crumpled down and kind of gave in to the cramps. But that's, you know, that's a tough kid, and I was so impressed. It's funny because I make a point not to listen to the Big Red Cobcast before we record, because I don't want it to, you know, be like I'm reiterating their thoughts. If we happen to say the same thing, you know, great, but that's because we both think it. It's not because, you know, well, that sounded good on their show. I'm gonna repeat that here, but it was after the Wyoming game, like halftime or something like that, and they were, you know, if you listen to the Big Red Cobcast here on Coronation, you know that they during the season they have been recording at a bar, and it was Mike or Joe, admittedly I don't remember which, but they were saying how they said there were some pretty negative things about Tommy Armstrong, and I thought that you know, again, having not listened to this week's episode, I don't know if they have, you know, made a retraction, but I thought it was a hell of a performance from Armstrong. You know, when everything's going right, you know, like it was for Louisville against Florida State, then Lamar Jackson's going to shine. But when you're playing, you know, a tough opponent, you're still a team on the rise, and you've got to scrap and claw and scratch for every bit of, you know, national exposure or respect. I thought that Tommy's performance on Saturday was more impressive, maybe not from a statistical standpoint than Lamar Jackson, but I think I said something about this on Twitter after the game, but I thought he was player of the week because of just the determination, and I don't want to sound repetitive by saying heart, but, you know, from the fact that he was resilient and he was not going to leave that game. I think Riker came in for a play, two plays, you know, something like that. But that was, you know, they showed him. I didn't actually see this part, but I certainly read about it after the fact. But, you know, they showed him on TV. He's getting an IV of fluids. You know, he's over there getting stretched out. He battled through, and I was kind of surprised that he wasn't like an, you know, conference player, offense player of the week or something. I don't know who had a more statement game than he did, especially when you look at that game-winning touchdown he had late in the ball game.
Yeah, man, I've told you, and I know I've told you this, and I've said it to other people. If Tommy's out for the year, I don't think Riker gets many snaps, and I think you saw why, because he kind of, you know, not so much that they put him in a bad position, but they needed to get a first down in that instance in the drive. And Riker just, I wouldn't say panicked, but got rushed. Mm-hmm.
That was the one he kind of sidearmed into the turf.
Yeah.
John and I were talking about that in Slack.
And we're kind of glad he sidearmed into the turf because it looked like if he kind of threw a rule, he would have got an interception. You know, so, yeah. You know, Tommy's never going to – we're going to get pissed off at Tommy this year. We are.
There's still a lot of season left.
We're going to get pissed off on Saturday. We're going to get pissed off at him against Ohio State. We're going to get pissed off against Illinois. Whatever. We're going to get mad at him. I think the point is this, that it's not Tommy's never going to give up the ship. And I think people need to understand it. He's not – it's going to be kind of like Taylor in the aspect of – he's going to set a lot of records at Nebraska. He's going to get the yardage. He's going to get the touchdowns. But no one's – and it's harsh, but it's true. Nobody remembers you unless you run a conference title. And that's just the way it is.
I just based on – it's see, it's not – I'm going to have to disagree with you there from the standpoint of this is not – you know, 1998. You know, it's because of social media and the fact that everybody's always talking about it so much. Like, nobody's ever going to forget Taylor Martinez. They're just not going to, because there was some there was a mystique about him, as weird as it is to say about T-Magic. But there was something about him that both, you know, like, drove you crazy, both in a good and bad way. I mean, if you look at like, the K-State game or the crazy touchdown run he had against Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament or Big Ten championship, you know, just he drove you mad, both, you know, in good and bad ways. Tommy Armstrong is a less frustrating of a player, in my opinion. I think he's a bit more likable than Taylor, to be honest with you. But and yeah, he's setting all these records. But I think it's also important for people to remember that up until, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, Nebraska was such a run dominant team that, you know, I could probably go in there and set passing records. I'm not saying, slow down, everybody. I'm not saying that I could, but, you know, they were much more attainable. I think, you know, the next quarterback who comes in, be it POB or Gebbia or whomever, they're going to light up the record book even more, because we're still transitioning from a run-oriented scheme, and then, you know, we're going to go pass heavy, I think, in the coming years. So again, record books are going to be changed once again. I hate to say it, Tommy, but don't get too used to seeing your name in the record book. I can't say it's going to last very long, but you're right. It's important to attain that next level of foundation, you know. I know we're 3 games in and we haven't yet played a snap in the Big Ten Conference, but we'll say, what are your odds? What's your probability that Nebraska not only makes it to Indianapolis, but wins?
10%.
And you said that with a chuckle.
No, I say that because I think they have like a 45-50% chance of making Indianapolis. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you're facing one of 3 teams probably. You're facing a rematch Ohio State,
Michigan State, or Michigan.
You're facing whoever wins Ohio State, Michigan.
I was gonna say, you don't think Michigan State has the capability to knock those teams off?
I don't think Michigan State is clean enough and defensively to do it. I really don't. I think offensively they probably could, but man, watching them against Notre Dame, I don't think they can stop much. And now, remember, and you're saying, oh, they put 36 in Notre Dame. Remember, what did Texas do to?
They put 50-something up, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they put 43 on a Cal D that's not very good, Bob. So I think it's Ohio State, Michigan. I think Nebraska could play a lot better with Michigan. I really do. I think scheme-wise, Nebraska's a little better. Can you run against Michigan? I don't know. Tommy could throw against them, but Michigan's a lot better than people think. I don't think they're good as Ohio State. Ohio State's really good, but think of Ohio State, it's going to be kind of like last year. Something's going to – they're going to have a big hiccup in the road somewhere. I don't know if you really – you know, I don't know if they're as good as you like to think they are. They're young. I can't think that for 12 games straight, Ohio State's going to be that great. So, and that's just going to be interesting to me. I think Nebraska has the best chance of anybody currently to get to Indianapolis out of the West. Wisconsin is really no idea what they're doing on offense, especially a quarterback right now. Northwestern, we're going to play a Northwestern team missing their 3 of their top 4 cornerbacks and then one of their starting safeties. And it was a team that really can't do much offensively to begin with Justin Jackson or with not Justin Jackson. Then again, we chased Thornton all over the building last year, but whatever. Minnesota, nothing's really convinced me that Minnesota's great. You know, right now in Iowa,
Can we talk about that real quick?
Here's the problem with Iowa, why they lost. Iowa got away with getting ahead and playing really boring football last year because their defense was tolerable. Okay. It's just as much Nebraska had luck that was bad against it. Iowa had luck that was really good against it. Okay. Think about what happened at Wisconsin. Think of what happened at Lincoln. Think about what happened against Pitt. Okay. And the thing is with Iowa, they played a team that's a little more methodical and in a way they take down a bigger opponent than, I would say Michigan State or even Stanford, you know. Remember this. North Dakota State went in 2 years ago, and everybody was just shocked in the whole world because they took down Kansas State in Manhattan.
They did something similar to Iowa State too, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean
they're now 6-0 against FCS or FBS teams.
North Dakota State is a team that you shouldn't be playing. Period. That's just the way it is.
You say should not be playing.
If you're at FBS school,
yeah.
Don't give them the free pay. They don't need the free paycheck.
No.
Don't give it to them. They don't need the free paycheck. You know, I mean, if it's – and remember, a lot of Iowa fans laughed how everybody saying North Dakota State was the toughest game they had in the early part of their schedule. Guess what? Kind of looks like it now, don't it? Well, you want to blame Ferentz everything. You want to blame – you know, this is what got you 12-0 last year. This is what got you within 40 seconds of going to the –
playoffs. College football playoffs.
Yeah. That got you 40 seconds to go to Arlington. Okay. That was the boring football. CJ Beathard's not going to kill anybody. You know, he's efficient. He's probably a little more you would take him if you were in Nebraska. He's efficient enough to make you not lose the game. But, you know, one thing that Iowa didn't do well, they didn't run the ball very well against North Dakota State. They did not run it very well. I mean, if you look at that, I think LaShawn Daniels only got like four carries in the second half. I mean, it could be wrong. The number could be wrong, but he did not get a look in the second half. And you kind of get this little whole, you know, shrug face of Kirk Ferentz. Well, that's football. Well, you know, you just gave that football $40 more million, you know. So what I'll say is this. Nobody's scheduling North Dakota State. Unless you're Bama, and even then, that'd be an interesting game to watch. But for sure, you know, this is I was going to regress to the mean somehow. I mean, I don't think we knew that Iowa State was going to be that bad. Nobody did. Everybody thought Matt Campbell would kind of have them looking better than they actually are. You know, so I mean, that's what I got about it. So
anything further that we need to discuss about the Oregon game before we move on, talk Big Ten? I mean, Nebraska's Big Ten slate?
I kind of hope Phil Knight gave Sean Eichhorst an early contract. I don't know. Maybe.
Now, as we look forward to Big Ten play, and obviously it begins this coming Saturday in the forest that is Ryan Field in Evanston, Illinois. I don't know what lawn care they are doing. I mean, that's the talk. That is the talk of Northwestern football right now, is that the new soccer facility on Lake Michigan is 100 times better. What is going on in my home state up north?
I don't know. You live there. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Yeah, it is. Anyway.
No, it's not. It's a hot dog.
It's a sandwich. Anyway. Yeah, they make this nice facility, practice facility, which it's nice. I'm not going to tell you it's not nice. It's really nice. But here's the thing. Number one, you built that right on the top of Lake Michigan. Everything's nice in May, June, July, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see it, you know, the third week of November when the wind's whipping off a little bit, it's a little cold, a little bit nipply.
I have been to Chicago in the third week of November, sir, and I have walked along Lake Michigan at that time. And let me tell you, it's not fun. It is not fun to walk from Michigan Avenue to Shedd's Aquarium right there along Lake Michigan and freeze my ass off.
It's not fun. But, hey, you know, you're selling this to recruits, you know. So, Northwestern, let's talk about Northwestern. Like I said, you lost three cornerbacks. Okay.
Who they lost to Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan first week?
Western Michigan. They rode the boat. And then they lost to Illinois State.
Which is nothing to brag about. I mean, come on.
You lost 9-7 to Illinois State.
Yeah, and Illinois State is not, I mean, it's not like even in Northern Illinois, who, again, a couple years ago at the FCS level was contending for championships. It's Illinois freaking State, and they're horrible.
Well, I'll tell you this about Northwestern. You know, we just talked about their, you know, new facility. It's not really that great right now because they got 18 kids committed, 0 3 stars. One guy that shouldn't be a 3 star, he should be a 2 star. Out of Denton guy, I'm probably getting a. So they're all middle of the road kids. Nothing great. Nothing terrible, nothing great. Last commitment was June, July. Last commitment they got was literally in July of a 5'10 running back from Georgia, Kyrick McGowan. I've heard of him. There's nothing really bouncing off that program right now. They beat Duke, and somebody said Duke is a little better than you think. Yeah, they're okay. Duke's all right. I mean, I wouldn't say they're going to scare anybody in the ACC, but they're going to probably make a bowl. You know, this loss gets them to 1-3. Pat Fitzgerald gets really, really in trouble if you're 1-3 because, you know, his schedule doesn't really kind of soup up a little bit. He gets Nebraska, then he goes to Iowa on the first. They get their bye week the same week as Nebraska does. Then they're at Michigan State, Indiana, at Ohio State, Wisconsin. And their last three are pretty easy, at Purdue, at Minnesota, and then Illinois in Champaign. So,
hey, at least they're not playing that game at Wrigley Field again.
No, but it'll be vacant by like October 4th, so it'll be fine if it does. Wait, sorry, October 10th.
I hope so. By golly, I hope so.
Why don't they ever play? Why don't they play that game at Soldier Field?
The Illinois Nebraska game? I mean, the Illinois Northwestern game?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that it's just never worked out schedule wise with the Bears, which you think is crazy because, you know, Pitt and the Steelers both play at Heinz Field. I mean, it happens at other facilities. Look at USC and the Los Angeles Rams both sharing the Coliseum right now. So, I mean, so it happens. I just don't know why I don't know.
Consequently, what is it with the state of Illinois and bad football fields? you can't blame Champaign because that's field turf.
Yeah, okay. They're not bad. But
Northwestern's is Safari Owl spray painted brown trash.
Northwestern's field is garbage, hot garbage. They just need to, like, somebody honestly just needs to go in there, write eat a bag of dicks in gasoline and set it on fire. The field, the gasoline, not the actual stadium. That I'm not advocating arson. I'm just advocating gentle vandalism and a little bit of tomfoolery.
But, and then you have Soldier Field, who doesn't have the greatest field in the world.
They don't.
It's good now. Wait till November when it's just pretty much chopped seaweed.
Again, been there at the end of November. That same weekend that I foolishly walked along the cold Lake Michigan and took my wife to her first game at Soldier Field, and we were six rows from the top on a cold, windy, rainy day in Chicago. Let me tell you how excited we were.
Now, that being said, and this might make you mad, but I'm just being honest with you, there's a lot of fields like Northwestern's field, like not what Northwestern's field, Chicago's field, Heinz Field.
Yeah, yeah.
That are just not – just brutal come November.
But – and I'll say this. Heinz Field is just the best. It's the best field of all. And it's the best because the home team knows how to play on it, and nobody else will ever figure it out, and that's okay. And that goes from the high school, the championships that are played there, to Pitt playing there on Saturdays, and then my beloved Steelers.
See, what I don't get about that is this. No. Follow me. Most state high school championships are played in like the state university, right? Ohio, it's like that. Ohio State, Nebraska Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, but I know even before all the shit hit the fan at Happy Valley, they were still played previously. I mean, I think it's different though in states that have like pro football. I'll say this, in Illinois, it used to be done at the University of Illinois in Champaign, and actually I think on football it still is. They don't go up to Soldier Field, but it's also more of a central location, and I know what you're saying, because obviously Pittsburgh being very much on the west side of the state, but I think in Pennsylvania there's two divisions of high school football. There's like the Western state championships, and then there's the Eastern, which might play in Philadelphia. I don't know.
It's funny. I remember, Missouri was playing where the Rams played for the longest time.
They were for a very long time, and then they moved out to Mizzou.
But they took the turf out, right? Because they're kind of just...
No, I think they still kept the turf in there.
No, I saw a story yesterday. They took the turf out because they were moving it for like dirt track and everything like that.
Oh, okay. I see. Oh, I thought you meant took it out for the high school games.
Yeah.
No. They do because they do PBR and motocross and monster truck stuff all there at the dome. Which I don't know if you caught my message in Slack earlier this week. I was saying, St. Louis would be a good place for a bowl game. Now, I mean, there's no real football in St. Louis, and we don't need any more bowl games. But if the bowl committee was thinking about adding a game, the NCAA, then St. Louis might be a good location for them. So,
something I think Delaney should do, honest to goodness, and there's no reason not to now, make a rotation of like two or three spots for the Big Ten Championship.
Could.
Indianapolis.
St. Louis.
No, not St. Louis.
Oh, I thought I thought that's where you were going.
No, Indianapolis, Detroit.
What about Lambeau?
You want to be able to play the game.
Yeah. What about Lambeau?
The problem with Lambeau is...
And so you want it to be a dome.
Well, who doesn't want to be a dome?
Oh, I'm saying...
If you want to include St. Louis on that, that's fine. Include that.
I think the only thing that hurts St. Louis in this instance is the fact that there's no Big Ten team in Missouri.
Well, okay. That's my point. That's part of my point, though.
Right.
Because I never understood why Illinois and Missouri didn't play every year.
They used to.
Well, it's played in the dome. But,
they used to. That was the season opener for both teams. It was the Show Me.
Where they played like the basketball play in like Kiel Center or whatever they call.
Yeah.
Scott's Trade.
Yeah. And in fact, I think they still have the, bragging rights. It's bragging rights in basketball. And I think it was just called like the Show Me Showcase or something like that, but they did play for several years at the Dome, and Missouri won like six in a row, which is not a surprise to anybody who's followed Illinois football recently.
You can play Minneapolis. You can play Detroit.
What about Minneapolis? Minnesota, they don't have a Dome anymore.
You're right. U.S. Stadium's not a Dome at all.
Well, all right, smartass. I'm just... thinking of other places that they could play.
You should see. Here you go.
Newspaper. This is what this would make Delaney happy. Why don't you go over and play in at the Meadowlands? I'm getting into that New York crowd. That's why you got Maryland and Rutgers in the first place.
It's funny. I always maintain that if Nebraska hadn't shown up like they did at TD Ameritrade for the baseball championships, there'd be a couple of years that the Big Ten Championship would be played in probably something like Yankee Stadium or Camden Yards or such like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because the whole basketball thing, remember, this year Big Ten Media Days, you know, get the email, Big Ten Media Days are in Washington.
Which makes no sense.
Well, that's where the tournament's going to be.
Still doesn't make any sense.
Well, Delaney thinks eyes because Rutgers sucks. And I do have a question for Delaney if he ever listens to this, which on the offhand chance he's pooping somewhere in a flight somewhere from Des Moines to New York City. How does Nebraska get no Saturday Big Ten conference games this year? I mean, we knew this had coming in, but how?
On the basketball schedule?
Yeah, yes. Penn State gets 3. Rutgers gets 4.
Oh, you mean on the network, I'm guessing?
No, I'm talking period. I'm talking scheduled games period. 18.
You mean that Nebraska doesn't have a single conference game on a Saturday?
Not at home.
Oh, okay.
Not really? At home every Sunday.
Wow. All right, see, I didn't know that.
Penn State gets 3. If I remember right, Rutgers gets 4.
Well,
but Nebraska gets none. 0. And it's not even so much that Nebraska needs that. I mean, they could probably use it for like a couple official visits and everything. But you have this big – and everybody knows what I'm talking about. Go down to the Haymarket. You know, that's a big – that one Saturday for Nebraska basketball in the Haymarket is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal. Parking, food, beverages, and everything like that. Sunday's okay, fine, whatever. You know, but Saturday's – you know, come on. You got to do a little better than that. Got to do somewhat better than that. That's just my opinion.
You're not getting any disagreement from me. I think it's ridiculous that the Huskers can't get a home game on a Saturday. But we're jumping around a little bit. We need to focus.
We could talk basketball, too, on this podcast.
Oh, sir. We will. We will, sir. And then we'll also talk wrestling.
Jesus. And,
women's basketball, because there's going to be a lot to talk about this year. What about volleyball? You want to talk volleyball too?
I'm the wrong guy for that. You can get Ty.
We'll get Ty. We need to get Ty.
We need to get Ty on here one day.
We'll do it.
Ty's experienced Emerson full bore one day. So
Ty what?
One night we were watching football and Ty and Emerson hung out together. It was hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah.
Emerson likes me too.
Emerson likes everybody.
She's a good kid.
Yeah.
I must get that from her mother.
Yeah, asshole. Anyway.
I just say that because sometimes you're not the cheeriest of folk.
All right, Northwestern, let's shut it down. People are getting off their lunch break right now. So.
All right. This Saturday, Big Ten Network. Tune in 6:30, I believe, is the kickoff.
Central kickoff, 6:30 Central.
6:30 Central. I will be home. God willing, I'll be able to watch that one live. So be following Corn Nation on Twitter as well as Brian R. Toll, T-O-W-L-E, on Twitter, and myself at TheHooch36. And you can catch our in-game commentary, which you won't want to miss. Let's talk real quick, just a couple things. First of all, a challenge to the Big Red Cobcast gents. And this is.
I'm not challenging him.
I'm
not challenging him. And you can challenge him. I'm not challenging him.
You're a part of it, whether you like it or not. This is the swear jar challenge. Because that's a dollar. We're gonna get, and hopefully they listen to this. Otherwise, they will not have a damn idea what we're talking about. Serious challenge here to. And I'm not, this is not in any way to get anybody to change the way they talk, obviously. But let's make a little internet swear jar, and maybe we can raise some money for Team Jack, and we'll just have some fun with it.
What are we challenging him to anyway?
I don't know. Just they gotta
because of your wanting a swear. Swear jar challenge. Okay. If you're doing that, we're going to win because Tweety swears like old people.
Yeah, but he's a lot better when they're out at the bar.
Yeah, because he has to be.
Exactly.
Not going to be always at the bar, though.
That's true. But they get the swears, and this is not a, like a challenge. Like, there's no winner or loser, except we're all winners, and Team Jack's a winner, and that's where I was going with that. So,
all right, who's winning?
The Nebraska Northwestern game.
Yes,
Nebraska wins because Northwestern's not good at the footballs.
I think Nebraska wins. I think it's closer than we really like it to be. I think it's a natural letdown game. That being said, I think the team gets that, you know, they're not going to be able to sleepwalk through any game. I really do. That being said, I think Northwestern kind of fires everything they can. I don't think Armstrong has the greatest day, but I think he has a good enough day. I think Nebraska's defense holds them to under. I think they hold them under 10 points. I think Nebraska scores 31. I say like 31 to. I'll say 31 to 10, because I don't think Northwestern has the horses on offense to run with Nebraska. I think Nebraska's secondary is a little better. I think Thorson throwing the ball is kind of hot trash, but, you know, it's the whole Nebraska kind of, will Nebraska play down to their opponent type of thing. I like to hope not. I like to think they're not going to do that, but.
We certainly have seen them do that in the past.
Yep. So.
Plus,
this is the first road game. That being said, it's going to be cute to see. It's going to be cute to hear Mike Riley's reaction to Northwestern of going to a selling count at home. So,
I'll throw out a score as well. And my score is going to be, I'm going to keep it, you know, right there around the 35 point mark. And I'm going to say it's 35-17.
Think they score 17?
I think that they're going to pick up a score late in garbage time. As far as when it counts, I'd say no. But, you know, if they score, I'll tell you what, it might be a matter of pride where Nebraska works to try to keep them out. But I think they're gonna get some, you know, lucky bounce or something like that late and get to 17. But I still think Nebraska wins by two plus scores. I think that. I'll tell you what, I think as a team, 250 plus yards rushing.
Yeah, I think they're going to throw a little better than that. I think the throwing will open up the rushing, because I don't think Northwestern can live if Nebraska is 50-50 throwing to rushing. Northwestern's going to have a bad day, because that means Tommy's throwing a good, and like I said, they're shaking on secondary and corner help.
True.
So. Then again, if we're throwing that much, there's going to be so many old men sitting on 72nd Pacific in Omaha with mowers, pitchforks, and edgers looking for the greatest lawn to ever. It's great. So,
the greatest lawn to ever mow will be Ryan Field. Hopefully Nebraska.
What are the odds that somebody can actually, you know, donate money and they can go to field turf?
I don't know.
Would that be so bloody freaking hard?
You would think not, and you would think that there's enough smart people who have graduated from Northwestern who have some money to. But I mean, maybe they're allocating funds somewhere else. I don't know what field turf costs anymore. I used to know, but got out of the field turf industry.
Yeah, well, but
that's a lie. I never worked in the field turf industry. Before we go, mentioned at the top of the show and mentioning it again. This is the Five Heart Podcast. Brought to you by Coronation and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com. I am the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And if you go to JitteryMonkey.com, you see that all of the logos, all the show logos there have that monkey, that ape theme. So we've got a couple of sketches by the artist who's done all of those. He's a good friend of mine named Joe Dodd. He has worked for Marvel in DC and several toy lines and just tremendously talented. We have a couple of sketches that we have posted on the Five Heart Podcast Facebook page. So make sure you go over there, like your favorite one, because that's the one that we're going to roll with and have him finish up in its entirety. One is kind of a serious, you know, intense looking monkey. which is kind of weird to say, holding in pads, holding the helmet down at his side. The other is a monkey throwing the bones. So cast your vote with the like when you see it. Share it so that your other Husker fan friends can vote as well. This is serious work, and my buddy's put in some good time to do this for us, and I'm excited to see the finished product. Just remember, you are not seeing the finished product. You're merely seeing the early sketch, so make sure you go and cast that vote with your like. For my good friend Brian Toll, I am Greg Mahochko. This is the Five Heart Podcast on Coronation, reminding you once again, this week is every week, that Five Heart is all the heart you need.
This has been a production of Coronation.com. For more, like Coronation on Facebook, follow Coronation on Twitter, and bookmark Coronation.com in your favorite browser.